Okay, Commissioner Navarre, you got 4.5 minutes. So this 3.5-page bio that they sent me, I'm not going to bother reading because everybody knows who you are. So, Commissioner Mike Navarre.
Okay, well, I'm delighted to be here, and I recognize that if you speak before the 5 o'clock hour, you can cut into the next person's time, but once you start cutting into the reception, people lose interest pretty quickly. So I'm going to try to quickly go through my presentation, and it's really a preliminary presentation. I'm working on one that I'll be bringing back to the joint chambers here, probably present to the assembly, talk around the state, because it's a message that the governor actually recruited me to help communicate across Alaska, and I think it's important. And so, as I said, this is preliminary. Please provide feedback to me about what things resonate and whether or not the message is getting through, because I think it's important to the future of the economy of Alaska. Okay, here we go. I'm now the Commissioner of Commerce and Economic Development. It's really exciting for me because I have access to a lot of actual economists in my department. I was sitting around a meeting, we were brainstorming, and I said, you know what I really need is I need some economists to run some of these ideas by. And of the 5 people sitting in the room, 3 of them were economists, 1 of them had taken economics, and the other one was me. And I have a minor in economics, so I said, uh-oh, now I'm really going to have to sort of watch what I say because they're going to call me on it. Okay, so we've heard from a lot of groups today. There are exciting prospects for the Kenai Borough and for the state of Alaska. A lot of opportunities, economic opportunities. But prospects for economic development look strong, but development requires private investment. The current state fiscal situation could dissuade or be a disincentive to investment in Alaska, and I think arguably it is, particularly in the oil and gas industry. And relying on economic development alone is not sufficient. We really, really need a plan. So we need to get investment in Alaska, particularly in the oil and gas industry. If you'll recall, in 1988 was the height of our production in Alaska, at a little over 2 million barrels per day. We're now down to about a quarter of that, which means the economies of scale are less. When volume goes down, costs go up as a percentage of each of the barrel produced. So we have to get investment in Alaska. Here's what we're competing with now. Used to be we would compete with worldwide investment opportunities for oil companies. Now they're in the U.S., in the Permian Basin, in the Bakken's, in Eagle Ford, and the gas finds on the East Coast. So we have to make sure that we get investment. In order to do that, we have to have a stable tax policy, and we have to make sure that we don't overburden, as we have in the past, one industry, at least until we get up to economies of scale, higher volume. Higher volumes means a better economy of scale for everybody. At that point, everybody's making more money, and you can maybe get a little bit more, but we can't put the entire burden anymore on one industry. This slide I wanted to show because you'll see Alaska there in the middle on the bottom part of the slide, and it's compared to these other basins that we're showing in the U.S. And why is this? Well, because Alaska is a mature development in Prudhoe Bay and Kuparuk, and the result is that these other fields have seen significant investment. In the top left corner there, that's the Permian Basin. Exxon, Chevron, all of the majors are investing huge billions and billions of dollars in the Permian Basin, and it has resulted in increased production, significant increases in production. Why is that? Well, they get a faster return on investment, they have closer proximity to the markets and infrastructure. And costs in Alaska for oil and gas development are higher, compared to here, about $45 a barrel to compared in lower 48, $25. So we need stability in Alaska in order to encourage investment, not just in oil and gas, but in everything else. So from an investor perspective, the state fiscal situation could dissuade investors. And why is that? Well, the state has promising opportunities for development, but the state has a $2.7 billion fiscal deficit. We're currently relying on savings and lack of a stable state fiscal policy or plan, and we're relying too heavily on one industry. So economic development alone is not enough, and here is why. Because I hear that. I hear people say, we don't want taxes. We just need more economic development. We don't need taxes. Just get us more economic development. Our problem with it, the state budget goes away. But here's a hypothetical look, and I've done one before for the Kenai Peninsula. This one I put together for Fairbanks, and the scenario is that we would have a manufacturer wanting to build a new factory in Fairbanks, North Star Borough. So here's the scenario, which I can't see from here, but it's about 5,000 new jobs, 4,000 of which would be in migration for those jobs into the Fairbanks North Star Borough, about 2,500 new students for the school district, 4,000 new housing units, $1 billion in investment. And under this scenario, there's the costs associated for the Fairbanks North Star Borough. And at the end of the day, under this assumption, the decision for the North Star Borough is absolutely, there's a huge benefit to the North Star Borough from this economic development. From the state's perspective, there is no draw on this economic development, so the state's fiscal situation gets worse. So the Fairbanks North Star Borough says yes, state of Alaska should say no. What's interesting is that it doesn't matter where you go in the state of Alaska. Local governments can pay the costs associated with economic development. The state goes backwards. And why is that? The reason for that is there's a cost associated with supplying the services to the people who are participating in and taking advantage of economic development. At the local level, we have sales taxes, property taxes, or a combination of those, or even bed taxes, other types of things. And so the result is that local governments can cover the cost of education and for public safety and for those types of things. At the state level, the state pays about two-thirds of the cost of education in the Kenai Peninsula Borough. But the state doesn't draw anything from the economy except in oil and gas, which is really the one that pays more than what it costs to deliver the services, and we've been able to rely on that for the last 40 years. We can't do that anymore. Not if we want to get investment in mining. And mining, by the way, at the local level, there's taxes collected. At the state level, very, very little. And what that means is that if we want investment in those, we have to be able to draw some for the people who are participating, the people who have the jobs, the people who are running the companies, so that we can pay the costs associated with that. So as a quick wrap up, economic prospects look strong. Development requires private sector investment. State fiscal situation could dissuade investment, and economic development alone is not enough. So I met with a lot of dozens and dozens of individuals, economists, business leaders, industry leaders, administration officials, legislators, in search of the perfect plan, and we managed to craft one. And here's the plan. That's a perfect plan. There isn't one. And the reason there isn't one is because there's different philosophies, there's different tax structures or things that you can put in place, and there's a lot of very strong opinions. So it doesn't exist. We're going to be debating budget levels and priorities forever in our political system and our political structure. We're going to be debating taxes, which types of taxes, how much, and where to apply them. There will be political consequences, and that's one of the things that makes it difficult, because election cycle, policy runs into politics during election cycles, and it makes it difficult sometimes to differentiate between rhetoric and reality. So can we get there? You know, I think that we can, but we have to do it by focusing on the common things and the things that we can agree on and build consensus. It isn't the question isn't really where we want to be after the next election. And that, by the way, is one of the things that I want to try to do in my messaging, is make sure that it transcends administrations. Because whether the governor that I currently work for is reelected or not, this problem doesn't go away. And it's not a Democratic problem or a Republican problem, and it wasn't caused by one or the other. It's an Alaskan problem, and it's something that we need to work together as Alaskans. We can't cede this responsibility to the rhetoric of campaigns or to the political parties. We have to come together, or we risk the economic future of Alaska in the short term and in the long term. I just put that name tag on the perfect plan, and that means if I just brainstorm with myself, I have a better opportunity of reaching consensus, although not always. It's not easy, and the reason it's not easy is because you hear people say, well, I want a strong economy, but I don't want any taxes. I want a strong economy, but I don't want government growth. I want a strong economy, but I want access to health care. I want a strong economy, but I want it to include more money for education. There is a relationship between economic expansion and government spending in health care, in education, in public safety. And in this state, it's particularly so because a lot of the services that are provided in Alaska are provided at the state level. In other states, there's county sheriffs and there's local police departments, and most of their states are organized into local governments. In Alaska, we're not. There's a lot of Alaska that is completely and totally unorganized, so it's difficult to reach this. And this is a message that I'm going to be conveying. As I said, this is sort of a preliminary approach, so provide some feedback. I want to get that message to resonate, that there is a disconnect between where we're at now and where we need, what we need to do in order to have a strong foundation to build a strong Alaskan economy on. When we look at the opportunities in oil and gas and in mining and in tourism, all and the gas line, that is really, I think, a great opportunity, and I think that it stands a decent chance of coming to fruition. But in any of those, there's direct costs and indirect costs to government in order to provide the services that go along with any kind of economic development. This slide is just in case my message was too negative, make you feel a little positive about me. And before I leave, I want to talk just briefly. I left, this started before, in fact, it was completed before I ever took office, but for the first time, Alaska has a comprehensive economic development strategy. It's been developed over the last, I think it's September of 2016. A lot of people in communities around the state participated, industry leaders, local government officials, Native corporations, a broad spectrum of people participated in it. I left some flash drives with Tim that has the plan on it. It's really comprehensive, and I'm not responsible for it. In fact, when I read it the first time, I said, well, all this sounds good, but what about the disconnect between economic development and the costs associated? And I got some pushback from my economists on that, I can tell you, because economic development is important, and what we've done now in order to accomplish some of the goals that have been identified in this comprehensive economic development strategy is narrow it down to, I think, 7 or 8, where we're going to focus on initially and then evolve further from there. Again, I'm very pleased to be here today. I thank you for the opportunity, and I intend to come back and talk to you again once I have a completed presentation to really show the disconnect in different areas of Alaska and try to get the message across that we need to come together and find a solution to this. It's not going to go away, and if we don't find a solution, we're going to struggle through a stagnant economy for a long time into our future. That's going to directly affect our quality of life and other opportunities for Alaskans. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner. anyone that would like a copy of that, I've got the jump drives over here. And just echoing what Mike was saying, I was actually one of the participants that spent 14 months of their life with this. And I can tell you, there was a really diverse group that was involved with it from all over the state of Alaska. So if you'd like a copy of it, please see me, and I'd be more than happy to give one to you.